Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am so glad you were here because joining me is Alex Newman. He's an incredible journalist and we are going to talk about the deep state and how the United States has been involved in spreading communism around the world. Shocking, right? Yeah. So we're going to talk about that today on this episode. So please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, hit the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you can donate. Or you can be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. That really helps support the show, helps with the equipment, it helps with travel expenses. It just really helps support the show. So I appreciate that very much. So please like, share, and subscribe. I always add more content. So join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social, Amber May, Frank Social, Amber May, and Cloud Hub, and Facebook for now. So find me there. And I just want to tell you about Hero Soap Company. It's a veteran-owned company, and every sale of their soap goes to first responders or military veterans. So let's support a company that is created by a veteran for veterans and first responders. Like I said, every cent that every purchase, part of that goes to help support the people that risk everything for you and I. And that's herosoapcompany.com. When you're there, use promo code AmberMay at checkout to save some money. It's all natural, no nasty ingredients, all clean products, and it goes right to your mailbox. And the scents are incredible. So herosoapcompany.com and use promo code AmberMay at checkout. Without any further ado, I'd love to introduce you to Alex Newman right now. Like I told you, I had the one and only Alex Newman joining us back on the program. Thank you so much, Alex, for carving out time today to be on the show.
Great to be here. Thank you very much for having me, Amber.
I love following all your content. I think you're a brilliant journalist.
Well, thank you. Before
we get into what we're going to talk about today, I do kind of want to get like a little background because I don't know much about like, how did you get started in journalism and to land in like so many platforms that you're on currently?
One might call it an accident of fate. I say the hand of divine providence, but I was a very bad kid, got kicked out of high school, didn't have any particular skills or anything like that. So when I decided it was time to go to college, I couldn't do engineering. I couldn't do any of the useful things. Like, well, I guess journalism it'll be. It's like kind of one of those, you just land there if you don't have any other skills. So got a degree in journalism. And at the beginning, I was writing for like establishment publications. In fact, my first big publication that I wrote for was owned by the New York Slimes. I very quickly realized that was not something I was going to do long term. You know, they butchered some of my articles. It was just crazy. So I found out about the New American Magazine and sent them a resume and was like, hey, you know, could I write for you guys? And they're like, yeah. So that worked out really well. Left the country again. And so I was able to do freelance work for them and, kept building from there and writing for more and more publications and doing more shows and things like that. And that's kind of the story. It's kind of silly, but it is what it is. So
no, it's good. I mean, because when you get into something, you deep dive in. It's very intellectual and very, but still entertaining at the same time. And every time I'm so glad I subscribed to your newsletter that you put out with the Liberty Sentinel. So where do people sign up for that? I want to get it now. And then I'm going to ask also again later on. So people really sign up because that is a great newsletter that I get every single, I think it's weekly you do it or is it daily? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We typically send out one or two a week, sometimes three, if there's a lot of stuff going on, but thank you for those kind words, Amber. Best way to do that is just go to my website, libertysentinel.org. And then there's a box right at the top, or you can go to libertysentinel.org /subscribe. And you just put your email in and we don't sell it. We don't use it for anything other than sending you the newsletter. So
yeah, it's great. So on the Reawaken Tour, you've been talking about the deep state, also protecting our kids. And I loved how you pulled so much Bible into your speeches. I thought it was phenomenal because you're backing up everything with the word of God that you're coming out with. But not only that, you have your facts and your figures from the human side of it, that, you know, like the evidence of the deep state and the videos and all that. So you have both the spiritual and the humanitarian evidence that you bring in with all your articles. So tell us about, let's go into that speech that you gave at the Reawaken Tour, because I think it's a phenomenal speech.
Well, thank you so much. So yeah, let's see here. Oh, I got to share a screen, I guess, right? All right. So I think we're good to go now. From the beginning. So there we go. Yeah. So here's what I had. And, you know, I just started off with a quote from Jesus that he's quoted twice in the gospel, saying that whoever's not with me is against me, which, you know, I think is important for people to understand, because even a lot of Christians don't necessarily see the world through the biblical lens. And seeing the world through a biblical lens tells you that, first of all, there is evil. Evil is a person, Satan, and he's got minions. And they are waging war against God and God's people and God's truth and God's moral code and all the rest of it. And so, you know, I just kind of use that to set it up for people that, like, you know, there's not like a third side here. There's no like neutral ground either with or against. Those are your options. Before going into, you know, showing what some of these evildoers are doing, which is, of course, trying to build a totalitarian one-world system, as they've told us. So here's, you know, George H.W. Bush.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
So, yeah, I mean, that was one of the first times that they really kind of openly announced what they were doing, right? We're going to build a new world order where a credible United Nations is going to use its peacekeeping role, by which he means, you know, their military forces, to implement the vision of the UN's founders, which, you know, I've got on the next slide here. We had Joseph Stalin's regime. And then we sent this guy, Alger Hiss, you see him up here in the corner, who, of course, was very, very influential in this whole process. He chaired the conference that wrote the UN Charter. He became the first Secretary General of the UN. And then, of course, we threw him in prison because we found out he was a spy for Joseph Stalin.
I'm glad you did this, because I never knew who was the founding members of the UN. So you're telling me the guy who we defeated in World War II, a dictator, Joseph Stalin, was one of the key players in establishing the United Nations?
Yeah. So after World War II, you had, you know, the Axis powers and the Allies. And the Axis, of course, was defeated. And so the Allies came together, quote unquote, to set up this institution. They met in San Francisco in the aftermath of the war. And Joseph, you know, the U.S. government had been very, very deceitful about Joseph Stalin. A lot of the people within the government understood this. If you look, for example, at General Patton, he was absolutely determined that, you know, we need to just march straight to Moscow. This is ridiculous. These people are savages and barbarians. If we let them take over half of Europe, this is going to be a catastrophe for the United States, for freedom around the world. And so I believe Patton was murdered, actually. But yeah, we actually built up Stalin's war machine. The U.S. government was sending out crazy propaganda, calling him Uncle Joe. You know, we were sending him everything he needed to prosecute the war. Just absolutely insane. And then they deliberately allowed him to enslave half of Europe after the war. Very subversive elements within our government deported millions of Soviet refugees back to Stalin so that he could torture them and execute them, send them to Siberia.
I didn't know Gulag. That.
Oh, it's so monstrous. It was called Operation Keel Haul. And President Eisenhower, actually, before he became president, was involved in this atrocity. And a lot of these were Soviet refugees who had fought alongside Western forces against the Nazis. And so, I mean, talk about it, the ultimate betrayal, right? These are people who had fled the Soviet Union. They didn't want to live under oppression. And so our government rounded them up and sent them back. It's just so monstrous.
And then this Alger Hiss, he's the first time I've ever heard of him. And he was one of the founding members of the UN.
Yep. There's a reason why you haven't heard of him. And that's because they threw him in prison for spying for Stalin. If he had not gotten caught, he would have been celebrated as like one of the heroes, right? Every school kid would learn about him. Schools would be named after him. We'd have streets named after him. You know, he would have been celebrated as a superstar. He worked at a very high level in the U.S. State Department. Before that, he used to run the Carnegie Foundation, a huge, huge pot of money. He regularly attended the Bohemian Grove. There was actually a really interesting PhD paper written about how Hiss and all the rest of the founding delegates to the UN conference went down to the Bohemian Grove, which is a weirdo secret society. Maybe we'll get time to talk about it a little bit later. But so, you know, Alger Hiss was absolutely instrumental in setting up the UN. But then it was found out that he was a Soviet spy, that he was spying for Joseph Stalin. And incidentally, it was Richard Nixon who prosecuted him. And he was found guilty of perjury in a court. He had claimed under oath that he was not spying for Stalin. And of course, he was. And so he was sent to federal prison. And that's why they just airbrushed him out of history, right? We don't talk about him anymore. So,
isn't that weird, though, that they're talking out of both sides of his mouth, that they uplifted Joseph Stalin, gave him a big role in the UN, had him play a big part in Europe, and the guy who's spying for him, they just shut up and throw in prison? I mean, doesn't that seem a little hypocritical?
Oh, the whole thing is massively hypocritical. And the thing is, the U.S. government was absolutely dominated by communist spies at that time. The Treasury Department, you had people like Harry Dexter White. And in fact, if you look back at the history, and very few Americans understand this, it's very unfortunate because I don't think you can understand the world properly without understanding this. It was actually the U.S. government that really drove the spread of communism around the world, which is exactly the opposite of what we were taught in our government brainwash camps. We were taught that America was standing against communism and we were even meddling in other countries to stop communism. There's a handful of examples where you might be, you know, like in Chile, you know, there was apparently some elements of the CIA that helped Augusto Pinochet overthrow Salvador Allende, who wanted to be the next Fidel Castro, right? Just absolute monster. So there's a few examples that you can point to like that. But if you look at even going back to the beginning of the Soviet Union, it was Wall Street bankers that funded Lenin and Trotsky as they enslaved the former Russia into the Soviet Union. After World War II, they actually helped the communists take over China. John F. Kennedy talked about this on the floor of Congress. It was just absolutely horrific what they did. They painted Mao, maybe the most prolific mass murderer in all of human history. The guy slaughtered maybe 50 million people. You know, Pol Pot maybe exterminated a bigger segment of the population percentage-wise, but in raw numbers, nobody murdered more people than Chairman Mao. And this is a guy who was put into power with the assistance of key people within the U.S. government, people like George Marshall, who served as Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. They actually put an arms embargo on our ally, Chiang Kai-shek, who fought alongside American forces against the Japanese during World War II. In fact, with my grandpa, right? My grandpa was there fighting in the U.S. Army during World War II, fought alongside Chiang Kai-shek's men. And our government betrayed him. He was a Christian. He wanted his country to be free. And so they betrayed him and they put Chairman Mao in power and they helped Stalin play a big role in that. And in fact, our ambassador had warned us about that. It's really an incredibly tragic tale that we could go into maybe another time. But there's a great book on this called Again, May God Forgive Us, about how top echelons of the U.S. government betrayed China into communism. They betrayed Eastern Europe into communism. There's a great book, too, by the U.S. ambassador to Poland. Horrific book. I mean, if you want to cry, read it. It's called I Saw Poland Betrayed, about how the U.S. government betrayed Poland into communism. We betrayed Cuba into communism, right? The New York Slimes, Herbert Matthews, told us that Castro was the George Washington of Latin America, is an anti-communist freedom fighter and all the rest of the nonsense. And so our ambassador there, Earl Smith, he testified under oath in U.S. Congress that the U.S. government had deliberately put Fidel Castro in power. So yeah, all over the world, you're seeing this, where the U.S. government is driving communism, building up communism, aiding and funding and militarizing communism. It's just unbelievably horrific.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our biggest Christmas sale ever. You get our brand new six-piece My Towels for only $29.98. Or rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper as low as $99.99. Or how about MyPillow bed sheets for as low as $24.98? There's something for everyone. Duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. Well, I know MyPillow products make for the perfect Christmas gifts, so I'm going to extend my money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2024. So go to MyPillow.com now or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products. For example, you get our six-piece towels for only $29.98, or get your very own MyPillow bed sheets for as low as $24.98. It's our biggest Christmas sale ever. Get all your shopping done now while quantities last.
Hi, this is Vem Miller from the Blood Money Podcast. I'm here to say don't ever miss an episode of the wonderful Amber May Podcast.
Hey, friends. New variants means new vaccines and even more scare tactics. You know, Dr. Peter McCullough gets asked all the time, how do I get this out of my body? Well, Spike Support Formula is the only product I've seen that contains ingredients researched to block and dissolve COVID spike protein in the bloodstream. Whether you've got the shot, you're watching research pour in about vaccine shedding, or you've had a bad bout of COVID, Spike Support is a serious concern. And while we won't truly know the extent of the devastating effects for many years, there is something you can do right now to protect yourself. Hundreds of people, vaccinated or not, have reported better mental clarity and increased energy levels. Head to twc.health/AmberMay to buy the wellness company's Spike Support Formula and get back to feeling your best. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout and you will save some money. So that's twc.health/AmberMay to save some money at checkout.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Wow, that's crazy. So, I mean, so this really goes back, and I want our viewers and listeners to know, because, I mean, I understand that it's been going back for some time with the communism, the deep state, the one world government. But I mean, if people want to think about it, it's like World War II, at least from World War II on, and maybe even further back, that we've had communist people in power in our United States government that believes in communism, and it's really prolific now, and they're really outspoken about it now. And I'm sure we'll get into a little bit of that in your presentation.
Yeah, it's been going on for a very long time. I think the best way to think of communism is not really so much an ideology as it is a criminal conspiracy by megalomaniacs. The ideology is just like the smokescreen to find useful idiots who, you know, can't think straight and who will join the revolution only to be put up against the wall and shot later. And Joseph Stalin is the ultimate example of this. I read the other day, out of his 34 top deputies, only like three or four died a natural death. Most of them were eliminated in purges ordered by Joseph Stalin. Right? The guy was hyper paranoid. He thought everybody was conspiring against him. So he, all his top people just ended up, you know, tortured and shot. And this is what always happens, right? And so when you get to the top of the pyramid, these people don't actually believe in communism. They think the people who believe in communism are absolute idiots.
Right.
And they will very happily put a bullet in the back of their head as soon as they're done being used as cannon fodder for the revolution to tear down the old order. So that's what's been going on. And unfortunately, the U.S. government has been penetrated by and by these forces and instrumental in propagating them around the world.
Interesting.
So we can go on here. I showed George H.W. Bush, but there are plenty of others. Here's Bill Clinton.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
And of course, Beijing Biden.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
So there you go, right? I mean, they're all on board with it. And you could run New World Order videos all week. All the prominent globalists are on record calling for a New World Order. And what they really mean is a one world system, right? And actually, if you go back to the founding of the UN, even the ones who we can't prove for sure were communists, were openly lobbying for turning this UN into a one world government. John Foster Dulles, who was the Secretary of State at that time, also instrumental in building up the UN. He wrote in his book, War or Peace, that the goal was eventually to turn the UN into a world government, a world federation. And he said that could happen under the existing UN charter. Right? You didn't even have to amend it. He said it was a primitive stage, he said, when it was set up. And the plan was to eventually usurp more and more power, more and more money, until the UN became a one world government. And so, you know, I think it's good to contrast that with what God says, right? It was God's idea to divide humans into nations. He says it repeatedly in the scriptures. You've got it in Acts 17. You've got it in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And you can actually read the story of how and when that happened. It's in Genesis chapter 11. God had told people to spread out across the whole face of the earth. And they said, no, you know, we're just going to build this big tower. And so God forced the issue and scattered them all over the earth. And that's the origin of nations, right? He separated people. They gave them different languages. And so then gradually, you know, some moved north, some moved south, some moved east, some moved west. And through the process of microevolution, which does actually happen, people started getting different characteristics and things like this. And that's the origin of, you know, the different phenotypes that we have, I guess, among people. And so, you know, that was God's plan, not man's plan to have people divided up into nations.
And their idea to rule the world. I wonder what that looks like for them. Like, what do they think? Who's going to be in charge of what? Like, you know, because they're all hungry for power. And I don't think it could ever end up working out anyways, because they're going to be an infight of who is the ultimate in charge. And so I wonder, in these backroom meetings, what do they talk about? Who's going to have what power? Who's going to rule over what? Who's going to do what? And I know it's only a handful of people that they want to have total control, but like, eventually there would have been so much infighting. I don't even think it could really last. I mean, I don't know. That's just my thoughts. What do you think about?
Yeah, and that's what you find typically in these kinds, even in, you know, like the Soviet Union. We talked about Stalin, right? They end up murdering each other. They get hyper paranoid. This guy's conspiring against me. This guy's going to overthrow me. Kind of like the mafia, right? They knock off the top dog so that you can get that spot. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the key thing to understand is that their commander in chief is Satan. I mean, just to put it bluntly. And so I think a lot of this is being coordinated at a supernatural level, which sounds strange to people who aren't Christian, who don't read their Bible, who've been brainwashed into believing in the materialist understanding of the world and of reality.
No, but you're right, you know, because God talked to me a long time ago, like early 2000s. I was reading Daniel chapter 10, and he pointed out the Prince of Persia, and you're going to get into that. And I'm glad you're going to get into that in a little bit. The Prince of Persia is over your nation is what he told me. Because in Daniel chapter 10, and then I didn't realize, I went back like a year later or 2 years later, like a year ago, 2 years ago. And I reread it, and it says the Prince of Persia, and there was the King of Persia. So there's these different levels of hierarchy in the demonic realm. But he told me the Prince of Persia is over your nation. I totally did not see about the King of Persia, which is so cool about how God reveals things in scripture at right times. So I knew back then there was this really demonic spiritual battle happening over our nation. And I've been praying for a long time, God, defeat the Prince of Persia over our nation. And so you're going to get into that. So I just wanted to agree with you that you're right. This is very spiritual in nature. I know that was revealed to me a long time ago. So I just wanted to agree with what you just said.
Yeah, there's a really fascinating author who's explored this in some depth. His name is Dr. Michael Heiser. He passed away pretty recently, but he did a book that was just incredibly good called The Unseen Realm. And he actually gets into this, right? And Deuteronomy chapter 32, which I've got up on the screen for those who are watching us, it says, when the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. Now, the sons of God has a very specific meaning throughout the scripture. It's used multiple times, and it's referring to supernatural beings, supernatural persons, supernatural intelligences. And the Prince of Persia is one that's described in great depth in Daniel chapter 10. But it very much seems like when God disinherited the nations, he kind of handed them over to these entities. You know, Paul describes them as powers and principalities. And it says, you know, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. And so that is the reality right now. And now at this point, Jesus Christ is already victorious, but these entities remain with us. And you know, people who don't understand that there is an unseen realm, that there are beings that are non-human, intelligences that are non-human. You know, and some people get the wrong idea as, oh, it's aliens, it's, you know, different things like that. But no, these are real things. And Dr. Michael Heiser, very orthodox scholar. I mean, he's not, you know, he doesn't deviate from traditional Orthodox Christianity. But he goes into great depth, and he pulls out from the scriptures information on this. And I think it's really important, if you want to understand the nature of reality, to understand that this is what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a fallen world that fell with Adam and Eve committing that sin. And now you have these entities like the Prince of Persia. And I encourage people to read Daniel chapter 10. You have this fascinating story where God actually dispatches the Archangel Michael to deal with this. And there's like this battle. And, you know, to non-Christians, it's like, oh, that's cute. It sounds like science fiction. No, this is real stuff. The Bible doesn't get too much into depth on this, so we don't have all the details. You know, there are extra biblical texts that are endorsed in the text of the Bible, things like the Book of Enoch, which I don't consider to be canon.
But there
are some interesting insights in there. This is an ancient text that the Hebrew people were very familiar with. In fact, they found a copy of this with the Dead Sea Scrolls, which was basically the entire Old Testament, and so, you know, these are things that are worth looking at. These are things that are worth thinking about. And the more you dig into this, I think the more it helps you make sense of what's going on, because clearly we're not just dealing with evildoers who just want money and power. I mean, we are dealing with evildoers who want money and power, but there's a whole nother level beyond that that most people, unfortunately today, because they've been brainwashed into materialism and an anti-biblical worldview, have no conception of.
That's correct.
Yeah. And so, you know, when people talk about what is this new world order going to look like, well, some of the people driving it have given us some good insight into it. So here's George Soros. He's actually donated more money to our political process than anybody else in the world over the last few election cycles. And this is an interview he did in 2010, I believe, with the Financial Times, a major propaganda outlet. Actually, the woman who's asking him the question, what's her name? Freeland or something. She ended up being, I think, the deputy prime minister in the Justin Trudeau regime in Canada. So, you know, you have this kind of tight circle of globalists. They circle back from the propaganda media into government and so on. But here's George Soros giving you some real solid insight into what the new world order will look like.
So I think you need a new world order, that China has to be part of the process of creating it. And they have to buy in. They have to own it the same way as, let's say, the United States owns the Washington Consensus, the current order.
How's it going to be run? Well, there, you know, if you want to see what the new world order will look like, Communist China, the Communist Party of China, will give you some good insight. You've got the unelected elites at the top, who basically micromanage the lives of all the slaves at the bottom. It's like an ant colony with overlords, clearly evil overlords, people who are, you know, putting millions of people in concentration camps, harvesting organs from political and religious dissidents. I mean, these are barbarians. These are savages who are enslaving the people of China. And that's what they want for the world, right? Total control, total censorship, total regimentation of every area of life. A few market signals, they realize that total central planning is such a failure. You can't actually sustain a society on that. So they've implemented a little bit of fascism, right? They'll let you own a little bit of private property and things. But ultimately, if you want to know what the new world order will look like and what it'll be governed like, Communist China gives you the model, as Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, also says.
I respect China's achievements, which are tremendous over the last over 40 years since the opening up and policy and reform policy came into action. I think it's a role model for many countries.
A role model for many countries.
And remember, Donald Trump, during his administration, he was letting us know that China has bought and paid for many political candidates or people in office, from the small mayoral level all the way to Washington, D.C. So from the local level all the way to the national level, they have bought and paid for. And we also know, obviously, Biden's bought and paid for by China. And I was just watching a show today on Real America's Voice, and Governor Kristi Noem came on and talked about how much China owns our farmlands to control our food supply chains. They could cripple us if they really wanted to. So China, and the fact that our government's like complicit with this, is just so despicable.
Yep. It really is. And you know, the globalists, the elitists have been building up the mass murdering communist dictatorship from the very beginning. We've got all the proof. I mean, these people have said it openly, right? It's not speculation. You've mm-hmm. got George Soros saying that they should own the New World Order. You've got Kissinger played a huge role in building them up. David Rockefeller, now the World Economic Forum. It's just horrific what they've done.
Now this
and a lot of this. Go ahead, Amber.
The Behavian Grove is something that is so gross. Like, it's hard for me to understand how people are okay with complying with the things that they do in these rituals. It's so disgusting and so sickening. And yet so many people that I think if people really knew who goes to these meetings would be shocked. Like, you and I have been in this for some time now. So for us, we're not shocked when we hear these names, but I think for most middle Americans, if they knew who was going to these Bohemian Groves and doing the things and the debauchery that they're doing, I think they'd be absolutely shocked. And so hard for me to wrap my mind around how these men could do those things, to go to these things, do these rituals, be a part of this organization. I just can't understand why they're okay with it, you know?
Yeah. It really is grotesque, Amber. And I think the reality is most of the guys who go to this probably don't really buy in, right? And I know some people who've gone to it. In fact, somebody leaked the membership list to me in 2019, which I have. So, I know some of the people who go to these things. Kevin McCarthy was there when he was Speaker of the House mm-hmm. this summer. So you get a lot of powerful people there. In fact, when they met for the UN conference in San Francisco, all the UN delegates actually went down to this meeting. There's a great PhD paper on it. Richard Nixon is a really good example of what I'm talking about. So he wrote in his autobiography that the speech that gave him the most pleasure and satisfaction in his whole political career was the Lakeside speech he gave at the Bohemian Grove in 1967. He said it was probably the most important one. It was the first milestone on his road to the presidency. And so, he didn't have a lot of bad stuff to say about it. But then those tapes that came out later, right? Nixon was infamous for recording all these secret tapes. We found out that he didn't think very highly of this group. He called it the most, I don't want to repeat the language, but he used a nasty term for homosexual, and then use the Lord's name in vain. So he was not a big fan of this. And my guess is a lot of the people that go to this are probably not into this stuff, but they're told.
Why do they participate in this debauchery? Like, how come they go through with it? I don't understand.
I think the reason, Amber, is that they are told by the people who invite them. They're like, hey, if you want to move upwards in politics, if you want to move upwards in the business world, these are the guys that you have to be connected to. This is like the ultimate networking. So, they do some kind of silly things like burn effigies of children at the foot of a 40-foot stone owl. So, you don't have to pay attention to all that stuff. But you could pee on some trees. And, that's how they celebrate their freedom. They pee on trees at you. A lot of alcohol going on there, a lot of shady stuff going on there. But I don't believe that most of the people go there fully understand the implications. They think it's just kind of like, oh, it's just like fraternity stuff. And
well, because Ronald Reagan went there, and yes. I don't think he was probably wanting to be a part of this. Like, just
I don't think so either.
Yeah, so you're right.
A lot of the guys who go there, I think, are in the same boat. Donald Trump has not gone there, which is interesting. Every Republican president in the last 100 years, with the exception of Donald Trump, has gone to these, and a lot of Democrat presidents.
Don't you think that we should, the men that are supposedly leading our country, should have some grit and say, I'm not going to participate in this debauchery, this disgusting stuff? I'd have more respect for these men to say, no, I'm not going to participate than to continue doing these things in the Bohemian Grove. That is disgusting. I have no respect for these people. I would rather have someone that have the grit to say, no, I'm not going to participate in this.
Yeah. No, these guys need to repent, to be absolutely clear.
Sure.
My guiding motto as a journalist is Ephesians 5:11, which applies here too. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or expose them. So, you should not be participating in cremation of care ceremonies, holding tiki torches out in the woods with hoods on, and burning effigies of children and chanting to the forest spirits and stuff. That is not appropriate for a God-honoring person to engage in. If you're going there with a secret camera to expose these evildoers, that's one thing. But if you're going there because you think, oh, I'm going to earn more money, or I might get elected to some office or appointed to something, that's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. And all these people need to repent, even those who didn't necessarily think they were buying into it. This is just wickedness, and really it needs to be exposed, and it needs to be opposed by all people of good character.
I mean, let God, if that's what you're so concerned about, because you think that you want to go high and political offices because you really want to make a difference, like you feel so passionate about making a difference in America, okay, I think you could let God help you up. Amen. Level you up in those instead of doing this stuff. Amen. Let God raise you up, because we see that in scripture all the time. He went from David, a shepherd boy who was a nobody and nothing, to the world's eyes, and God lifted him up to be one of the greatest kings of Israel, and probably, I would say, history of all time. So God can raise you up to put you in those powers if that's what he created you to do. You don't have to participate in this debauchery stuff. It just is so disgusting to me.
No, you're 100% correct, Amber. And I wish more Christians took that attitude. You know what it really reminds me of? In Matthew chapter 4, you have this interesting story where Satan is trying to tempt Jesus, and he takes him up to this high mountain. He's like, look at all these kingdoms. Look at the glory of all these kingdoms. They can all be yours. All you got to do is worship me a little. And that's essentially what they're telling these guys, inviting them to the Bohemian Grove. Oh, look at all the wealth and the power that we have. We rule over nations. We've got bank accounts in the billions, and the people tremble at our feet. And the correct response would be, no, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. I'm not going to participate in your fruity little rituals. I mean, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Absolutely ridiculous. So no self-respecting Christian should have anything to do with these kinds of things. And it's not just the Bohemian Grove. You got the weirdos at the Skull and Bones that we'll talk about. There's a lot of these things going on. And I think a lot of the people who participate in these things do rationalize it by just exactly what you said, Amber. Well, I can do a lot of good if I can get myself in Congress, or if I can get appointed as a cabinet secretary. And, unfortunately, I have to go to this weird thing. But that's the price we pay to, be influential. And frankly, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That is not appropriate in any way. Like you said, just rely on God. God will use you in the way that he sees fit. You don't want to be participating in this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a little video that Alex Jones took. He actually snuck in some years ago with a camera and recorded, so I could play this real quick. They're burning this effigy of a child at the foot of that stone owl. Very, very bizarre ritual. And so Alex Jones actually confronted David Gergen, who incidentally is mostly a Democrat operative, on the streets of D.C. about this. It's a fascinating little
discussion. Washington Times article many years ago where you had a comment about the organization. And then now it's been in the Wall Street Journal. It's been in a lot of different newspapers. And that's the Bohemian Grove. And back in, what was it, 1996, when you joined as a Clinton advisor, the Republicans were criticizing you. Oh, what about Bohemian Grove? And then you countered them by saying, hey, I don't run around in the woods naked. What did that mean?
Here is the before mentioned Washington Times article where he said, I didn't run around naked like they do.
I don't know what quote you're referring to. I'm not aware of any quote like that. I am a happy member of the Bohemian Grove. I like the folks who come there, and it's really inappropriate for me to talk about the group beyond that.
Have you been there for the ceremony with the cremation of care?
Frankly, I don't think that's something I need to talk to you about.
If it's so secretive, you know what I mean? Like, what's the consequence if they say something? Like, do they get whacked? Do they lose all power and money? I mean, if it's so secretive, is it so great?
Yeah. Well, and what they don't realize is that God's going to expose all this stuff. Mm-hmm. The Bible is very clear. All these wicked deeds being done in darkness are going to be dragged into the light. That stuff's not going to stay in your fruity little forest forever. That's coming out. And I don't know when, I don't know how. It's not me that's going to orchestrate it. That's God's job. But, all these things that these guys think they're doing in secret are going to be brought into the light. All the wickedness is going to be exposed. And, now would be a really good time to repent publicly about involvement in any of these kinds of things.
So. Remember that movie? It came out in 90s, 2000, about Skull and Bones. It brought this to mainstream knowledge, because I didn't know this even existed. in the campuses, or there was the secret society. I had no idea this existed until that movie came out, and it was kind of creepy. Like, life was all good until it wasn't good, until they decided to like turn their back on Skull and Bones because they just wanted nothing to do with it. So I wonder if there's this super big fear that you'll either die or lose all power and money if you start talking about this.
Yeah, and sometimes they threaten them too. You know, there are threats that go along as you go through initiation rituals and stuff. You know, some of them are pretty intense. Like, you know, we're going to cut out your tongue and, you know, things like that. You know, whether they'll actually do those things, I don't know. But, you know, there's a lot of that in these secretive societies that have existed for a long time. And, you know, these secretive societies really do go back a long way. The Illuminati is a really interesting example. You know, back in the 1770s and 1780s, they were trying to infiltrate Freemasonry, used it to bring about the French Revolution. And actually, a high-level Freemason from Scotland exposed some of this infiltration in his book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, a John Robison. Fascinating book. A little bit difficult to read. It was published in 1798, I believe. But, you know, these things go back a long way. I suspect they go back, you know, probably to the Tower of Babel, frankly, these occult, esoteric mystery religions and societies and things like this. And, you know, every once in a while we see like the tip of the iceberg when something comes out. I'm not familiar. I know of the movie that you mentioned. I've never seen it. I only heard about it recently. But yeah, it's interesting that some of this is coming out, and eventually all of it's going to be brought out. You know, all these people who think they're doing it behind closed doors are going to be exposed for the world to see. And that's going to be a little bit awkward. So, yeah. So on Skull and Bones, you know, there's I would say the most important book ever written on it is this one here by Anthony Sutton. He got documents from Charlotte Iserby, wonderful lady. And her dad and her grandpa were members. And so when they passed away, she gave the documents to Anthony Sutton, a historian at Stanford, who wrote this book about it, explains how it works, what it does. And there's been some stuff that came out like in 2001 in April, ABC Fake News got a hold of some secret tapes that they had filmed of what they do there.
And so when we heard that some enterprising characters had managed to spy on the famous Skull and Bone Society, we couldn't resist. Here's ABC's Dan Harris.
The videotape provides a grainy glimpse into what appear to be the initiation rituals of a secret society that's been around since 1832, whose members have gone on to be leaders of Wall Street and the White House, the Senate and the Supreme Court.
They're sort of trying to scare the initiates, make them, you know, disorient them, frighten them.
New York Observer investigative reporter Ron Rosenbaum accompanied a team of Yale students who shot these pictures 9 days ago. Rosenbaum's curiosity about Skull and Bones was permanently piqued when, as a classmate of George W. Bush, he lived right next to the tomb, the group's heavily fortified home. From their perch, Rosenbaum and his cohorts taped the tomb's courtyard. What they captured, they say, was initiates, known as neophytes, being forced to kiss a skull, then members performing a mock killing.
That's so gross. Like, why would you participate in that?
Yep. Very weird.
This is sparking my curiosity to know a little bit more about this organization since this book is out.
Yeah, it's a good book. And one of the things he explains is that they like to control both sides of the debate so that no matter what happens, they win. And so he describes it like they use this dialectical process of change, where change requires conflict. Conflict requires a clash of opposites. So you got to have a right and a left. You got to control both sides. And, you know, the most obvious example I could think of was this one.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go watch.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the website.
Number 322?
First of all, he's not the nominee. And, look, I look forward.
Are you prepared to lose?
No, I'm not going to lose.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
So, you know what, when what he just said, that quote that you just had with that book, You know, we now know about the uniparty and how they control. It looks like we had a two-party system when both sides were controlled. So it didn't matter who won the presidency or who won this office or who won that office, because no matter the candidates they put forward were ones that were controllable by whoever's pulling the strings up top.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey friends, I want to tell you what I recently did. I broke away from the big three. I was tired of the woke mobile, and I wanted to go to a Christian conservative company that I could trust that support the organizations that I value, and that is Patriot Mobile. So when you go to patriotmobile.com/Amber, you are going to get free activation. It is super easy to get started to switch from the big three to Patriot Mobile. They'll walk you step by step. It is not difficult at all. And I've had tremendous service since I made the switch. So I recommend, if you want to vote with your wallet and support a company that supports your values, go to patriotmobile.com/Amber and save on a free activation. So that's patriotmobile.com/Amber. Now the links are in the description below or on my website at theambermayshow.com/promo. So check that out. So it's time to vote with our wallet, ditch the woke mobile, and go to a Christian conservative mobile. And that is patriotmobile.com/Amber.
Hey, I'm Christina Bob, and you are listening to The Amber May Show.
In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, you with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, wealthmanagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like some, have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So that book was right on the money, and now we know this to be true, and we've been seeing it. It's been revealed to all of us about this uniparty that all these political opponents or these candidates are controlled. No matter who wins, no matter who loses or who wins, it doesn't matter because these people are part of the uniparty. So whoever's running, pulling the strings, they end up winning no matter who wins the elections.
Yeah, that's their objective, right? That's what they try to do. They like to try to monopolize. And as soon as somebody comes along who's not part of it, like Donald Trump, they just totally freak out, right? Donald Trump, they actually hacked Colin Powell's emails. He was at the Bohemian Grove, and he was talking with his friend Peter Gordon McKay by email. And he writes him an email and says, "Oh, I got to sit next to Stephen Harper, who was the Prime Minister of Canada. We had a great discussion." And then they mentioned Trump. He says, "Yeah, most people here think Trump is a disaster." I think is the word he used. So they don't like it when somebody who's not part of their weirdo little societies and clubs and rituals and initiation things and stuff comes along and isn't controllable, isn't manipulatable. Mm-hmm. I know we're almost running out of time, but there's a few of these groups. You've got the Council on Foreign Relations and a lot of other ones too. Of course, they control the media and
wait, can you go back? I think the one you did with him is important for us. Go into who this is.
Okay.
And why that's important.
So one of the top journalists in all of American history, he was called America's Newsman. He was like the big newsman, was Walter Cronkite. This was the last generation, but you know, the generation before millennials will be very familiar with him. And so here he is. He's actually getting his World Federalist Association Award. I think it's called the Global Governance Award by the World Federalist Association, which is a group that is openly dedicated to world government. You know, he never told people that we were watching him on TV, hey, I want a world government, right? He said, you don't tell that to people. But here he is getting his award, and he's kind of making fun of Christians a little bit. Listen.
Their leader, Pat Robertson, has written in a book a few years ago that we should have a world government, but only when the Messiah arrives. He wrote, and literally, any attempt to achieve world order before that time must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
Wow.
Glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan. And a lot of these guys are, right? He kind of says it tongue in cheek, but really a lot of these guys are consciously serving their father, the devil. And for the younger generation that doesn't know this guy, here's Hillary Clinton congratulating him.
We would like to bring you a message from the First Lady of the United States, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Good evening and congratulations, Walter, on receiving the World Federalist Association's Global Governance Award. For more than a generation in America, it wasn't the news until Walter Cronkite told us it was the news.
So there you go.
Whoa.
Hillary Clinton says it's not the news until the guy proud to sit at the right hand of Satan tells us it's the news. So that's really the short story, right? This is a diabolical effort to enslave mankind. The Bible teaches about this pretty clearly. You know, 1 John chapter 5 tells us the whole world's in the power of the evil one. 3,000 years ago with King David, even back then, the kings of the earth were taking their stand. The rulers were conspiring together against the Lord and his anointed one. Of course, God laughs at them and will speak to them in his wrath. They're in big trouble, but ultimately this is a spiritual battle. You've got, the instructions for how you deal with it. You take the shield of faith, you take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, which is the Bible, to go on offense. And ultimately, you know, a lot of people get stuck on like the Antichrist and, oh my goodness, who's the Antichrist going to be? And am I going to have to take the mark and all that? But I encourage people to just look a little bit past all of that and recognize that God is sovereign. Mm-hmm. Jesus is king. And all these little evildoers are going to be exposed. They're going to have to bend the knee. They're going to mm-hmm. bow and they're going to confess that, Jesus Christ is Lord. It's coming. They're either going to do it voluntarily or involuntarily. So those are their options. And praise the Lord. We know he is victorious. So,
yeah. Wow. That was so good. I love your deep dives. I want to have you back on so you can talk to us more about whatever topic you want to share, because you have these great insights and deep dives into it. I learned some stuff today that I didn't know before, so I'm so glad I had you on the program today. Again, if people want to get onto that newsletter, I highly recommend it. How do they do that?
The best way is Liberty Sentinel. Sentinel is Sentinel. And then it's going to be got to be .org, .org. And the box is right there across the top. It's sign up for Substack, or you can click on libertysentinel.org/subscribe. Same thing. You'll see a little box there. Just put your email in and we'll put you on the list and we'll start sending you 1 to 3 newsletters each week.
And where do people watch you and find your articles and stuff like that?
Well, I do a lot of different things. So I do my show on it's first airs on Frank Speech, Lindell TV, and then gets picked up by other networks. You've been kind enough to guest host for me, so thank you for that. And that is live on Lindell 2 right now, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm going to pick up 5 days a week again. It was when we get to the other side of the holidays. I've just been so busy. And then that rebroadcast on Lindell 1, I think early in the morning, and it gets picked up by a whole bunch of other networks. People can find it on all the podcasting services. And we usually post them up at the website as well, libertysentinel.org. So people can find them that way if they prefer.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Alex, for joining us today on the show. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Amber. Really appreciate it. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.